Today's show, first 30 minutes maybe, talking Michigan. Filings, court filings, Judge Judy, all sorts of stuff. If you're tired of that story, forward 30 minutes, we can talk football after that. NC State's quarterback drama, race for the case, interesting games, all sorts of stuff. So two shows in one, same price, free.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Quinn Ewers for Heisman. I'm voting for Quinn Ewers. That's why I don't have a vote. Merle Haggard fan. I mean, come on. Can't get better than that.
Russ Dellinger.
Texas would prefer that, right? They prefer that scenario to happen. It just strengthens their record. That's a big game.
And SI's Pat Forte.
Simple and concise and blunt and crass. Your butt hurt. Your tears taste delicious. We're rent-free inside your head.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
I welcome to the pod here on Court TV. We've got lawyers. Lawyers upon lawyers.
There will be lawyers.
Pac-12 might have had gas station TV in theory. Big Ten is now Court TV.
They could be headed to court. We don't know. So we're taping early Thursday morning.
By the time you listen to this, they might be in court.
They might be in court. Supreme Court, People's Court, not our People's Court. Judge Judy. Harbaugh and Judge Judy have a personal relationship, you know.
They do.
Harbaugh's a huge, Judge Judy fan, and he attended Judge Judy once and sat in the crowd.
Maybe Judge Judy will preside over the case. That would be amazing. Apropos. Can we make the story any better?
If Michigan isn't getting its way in real court, they will divert it to Judge Judy Court.
Judith Scheinlin, now presiding.
He loves Judge Judy.
And Ric Flair. Ric Flair, Judge Judy, man, what a crew.
He really attracts the – I mean, he was also in Saved by the Bell as Screech's, like, brother or cousin or something, wasn't he?
What? What?
Is it Harbaugh?
What are you talking about? Quite
a lot. There's a lot with Harbaugh. There's a lot.
Jim Harbaugh was Screech's, like, older. You look that up. This is actually, Jim might want to revisit. So he went to court. He went, when he was the 49ers coach, he went to Monday's taping of the daytime hit Judge Judy. I'm reading from the, San Francisco Chronicle or something. Mercury News. I'm sorry. And he gives this quote. He said, long fan of the show. And earlier this year, he said, when you lie in Judge Judy's courtroom, it's over. Your credibility is completely lost and you stand no chance of winning that case. Uh-oh. So I learned that from her. It's very powerful and true. If somebody lies to you, how can you trust anything they ever say after that?
He might have forgotten that when it was time to talk about the hamburger.
So I found this. I love the folks. You guys know I love the folks at The Athletic, and they do a great job. But this is such an Athletic headline. Screech's cousin, : an oral history of Jim Harbaugh on Saved by the Bell. Like, it's just, God, can't get any more Athletic than that. Yes, Jim Harbaugh was on.
Did they talk to Screech? They must have.
I'm sure they did.
Oh, passed away, didn't he? Did he pass away?
Oh, he did pass away, didn't he? I think he did, yeah. Didn't want to kill him. But anyway, so Harbaugh's cameo in Saved by the Bell happened in 1994, and he played Screech's cousin and helps Eric learn a lesson about what being a hero is really all about.
Okay, here's just an absurd quote. He couldn't have meant this, although maybe he did. I love Judge Judy, Harbaugh told Fox Sports' Bruce Feldman. We have some great Supreme Court members, tremendous Supreme Court currently that we have. I don't know when this was done, so don't. But I love to see Judge Judy on the Supreme Court. Love everything about her. She's much smarter than me, let me tell you that. And she's a much better gin player.
Oh, wow.
I'd hate to be compared to Judge. Oh, my head. Judge Judy and Harbaugh are playing gin in like the back chambers.
The back chambers, yeah, between tapings. Oh my God.
Michigan's gonna win the case. That's it. Come on, he knows Judge Judy. I can't believe this didn't make it in any of these filings. They got everything on here. He used to put Gatorade in his cereal instead of milk. I don't know. Okay. Anyway.
All right. We detoured.
We
slightly.
Got 8 seconds into the show. Hand. Listen, people are like, I want Urban Meyer back in college football. Like, oh, man. I'm like, I don't care about any of that. He's entertaining. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't want Harbaugh to leave college football for no other reason than I just got 4 minutes of content out of that. Anyway, 10-page filing from Michigan laid out a bunch of stuff. Look, you can read our stories. Includes, you know, a lot of the stuff we've discussed, nuances. You have this right, you have that, this precedent, all that. And then there was an 8-pager from Harbaugh's attorney, Tom Mars, that brought up a number of interesting points. Ross, I'll start with you. What is your favorite, or I don't know, favorite? What did you find compelling about the arguments on why Harbaugh should not be suspended?
Well, yeah, I mean, they obviously lay the groundwork for a lawsuit and legal action by really pretty well dissecting the sportsmanship policy. I mean, which the Big Ten and Commissioner Tony Petitti are apparently going to plan to use to levy, if they do levy any penalty. And they just kind of dissected this thing about how the sportsmanship policy has never been used for this before, how Jim Harbaugh cannot possibly fall under this, how Petitti doesn't have the authority to use the sportsmanship policy. That was really interesting. And of course, you know, they sent kind of a warning shot across the bow of the good ship Big Ten with this line. The conference should act cautiously when setting precedent, given the reality that in-person scouting, collusion among opponents, and other questionable practices may well be far more prevalent than believed. So it's kind of like, look, juicy. Pretty much everybody's doing it. We have the documents attached, which they attach those documents that I think Pat in RJ had earlier this week. And they attached them about how their signals were stolen as well by other Big Ten teams. Clearly, they're now putting pressure right on Petitti to not act, kind of suggesting that this would open up, you know, a can, right? In others would eventually have to be penalized in some way, because to some degree, I guess their argument is everyone is doing it now. Obviously, I don't think everyone was doing it necessarily as elaborate of a scheme as Connor Stallions. So that was really interesting. But the whole thing obviously was written by maybe several really adept lawyers, because it really dissected some of this policy and, you know, pretty much laid the framework for any lawsuit.
Pat?
The whole thing moved me to song, so if you'll permit me.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, wow.
Hail to the victims whining. Hail to the obfuscating lawyers. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leakers and best. Fantastic work by Michigan. Fantastic work.
Wow, that was... I didn't know that was coming.
Nope, nobody knew that was coming.
No, good job. All right. Got the Taylor Swift, you're not, but we're,
no,
you know, you got to
no,
start
you really
somewhere.
You don't want me to sing, but look, it is a very skillful, very well done set of documents that they put out. It's part of a skillful, shameless, in my opinion, manipulating of the court of public opinion and application of public pressure. Which could, because I do remember Michigan very clearly being very upset at certain entities commenting about an NCAA investigation publicly when they're not allowed to, and also lecturing people who said Michigan needs to step here because they can't comment on anything. Michigan is commenting nonstop. They commented nonstop on the last investigation. They're commenting nonstop on this investigation. The words aren't directly coming from their mouths, but they're being transmitted to everyone around the world to know exactly where Michigan stands and what Michigan's arguments are. So I that whole thing of like, we can't say anything. You're saying everything. Now, that what they've done here, again, very skillful. They have set their argument out in front of everybody. Okay, Big Ten, here's what we got on you. Where are you coming back with? And if the Big Ten, I guarantee, is reading all this going, I don't know whether we want to do this. So, again, this may work. This may be very, very effective. But a couple other points here. One thing that I thought was interesting in this is that their document said that the sportsmanship policy and the NCAA head coach responsibility are the two umbrellas under which the Big Ten is trying to penalize Michigan. The head coach responsibility part, I hadn't heard that, in that the Big Ten might be co-opting this, and that's an interesting point to me because there is a strict liability rule which says that Michigan, that Jim Harbaugh's liable for what his people do. So a couple other points here that just off of reading the information. My absolute favorite part is using the margin of victory since Connor Stallions was suspended as a justification of some kind.
That's such a great
Played the last place team in the Big East and the last place team in the Big West. Congratulations on beating them by more than you had been winning otherwise. The other part of that is, if Connor Stallions was actually worth his salt as a sign stealer, you do your all that stuff is already in the preseason can in the scouting report. So they already had the signs theoretically. But if they don't now beat Penn State by 34 points, it's clearly a sign that it's because they didn't have the signals. I mean, that's hilarious.
I thought of that. Like, what if the next game is close? Like,
So good job, guys. And then my other point, I just since we have opened up the whole can of worms with Rutgers and Ohio State colluding with Purdue, did anybody at Michigan, do you think, when they were losing 6 years in a row to Ohio State, ever call or get a hold of anybody from another staff in the Big Ten and say, hey, what are you guys doing against Ohio State? We need some help here. I mean, could that theoretically be possible?
I think it's possible. I think every single team in college football does that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's colluding. So, you know, if you're going to accuse other people of colluding, you might end up yourself being accused of collusion sometime because that's what people do. So bringing that up to me, this is once again a case of like, this is Ohio State and everybody else saying what Michigan's doing is wrong when you're doing other stuff that's going to fall into either that exact category or something very close to it. So this is what happens with coaches. They complain when something doesn't go their way, and they're probably doing the same thing or something very much like it. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, the sharing and all that. I mean, you know, these docs they put in here with, like, the evidence of, like, I mean, there's filming of the Michigan Stadium scoreboard. Someone's, I don't know if that's the all 20 and the sideline, like, or the zoom in on the scoreboard to like show guys doing signs. Like, I imagine people are doing that. I'm interested in that. Who filmed the side? Is that just is that on the all 22 that they always show the scoreboard? I don't know.
They usually do show scoreboard for time score.
Yeah. So they run situation. Up there and then take it or whatever. Is that count? I don't know what that's all about. Yeah, I mean, look, this is Michigan's probably like, hey, we got cooked for 3 weeks. We got absolutely cooked in public opinion. We're in the mud. We're under the gun. We're going to drag everyone in here with us. So I agree. If you're going to sit there and be like, well, these guys, I hope nobody ever colluded with anybody else. I don't think there's a lot of, you know, I go back to my TARC line a lot, but 9 out of 10 are cheating. The others in last place, you know, it's just honor amongst thieves. There is none. But I think that's part of their point. Here's the part. All those parts are all. I agree with all of those. The one that I found somewhat compelling is that and this is their kind of the rush. This is even. I don't care if you hope that they suspend Jim Harbaugh for the next 5 years, or I mean, I've seen ban the team. I mean, some of the reactions have gotten aggressive, right? Or, you know, ban them for the playoffs.
No, there's plenty of ridiculous.
We've lost the point of the call. This happens in stories like this, especially when TV jumps in. It gets boiled down to chaos and it just gets like the perspective is just lost. And so people are like repeating things that aren't even accurate. You're like, where'd you get that? And then they're sending you a clip of somebody on TV and you're like, that guy has done zero work on this. But like, I don't care if you think they should ban the Michigan football team from playing Saturday and for the rest of the year. If you're a Big Ten fan, some of this should concern you because today it's Michigan, tomorrow it's you. This part I thought was interesting. So the NCAA process, it appears in the way this is all written, the NCAA has not handed over evidence to the Big Ten. They seem to have briefed them on some of what they have, but the Big Ten actually has no evidence or very little evidence. And so in here, they line out what evidence is in the Big Ten case, which is not the NCAA case, right? And so the NCAA is doing their case. The Big Ten wants to jump in front of the line and just say, we've got enough. You're getting suspended. We have to dredge up this sportsmanship policy, which we've never done in the history of our league. And we just absolutely have to do this. And you go, okay, well, what's the evidence that you have? And this is Michigan saying they have, quote, records of Stallions ticket purchases and transfers. And those tickets usage at games. That's probably their strongest thing. But it's not against the rules for someone to buy tickets. If you're going to boil this down, I think we all know what he was doing, but I'm just trying to make this as a legal thing. One unsolicited tip by an unidentified person who claims to have seen someone filming the sidelines at a game, though we are not able to identify either the tipster or the person they claim was filming the sidelines or confirm any connection to Stallions. So I don't even know what that is. A link to a public article that now includes a deleted video, which we have not seen, we being Michigan, of Stallions on the sidelines of a Michigan game. Now, that's not against the rules. A short video titled UMass versus PSU video. How about the Minutemen getting in here? Huh? Mm-hmm. Most prominent moment in the last 5 years of UMass football.
Maybe longer.
A short video titled UMass. I'm really proud as an alum. A short video titled UMass versus PSU video that does not clearly show anything at all. The evidence you actually have actually provided us is insufficient to prove the violations you allege, much less to allow Michigan to dispute particular points. And they go on to say, basically, they also show other videos of Stallions on the sidelines, like talking to the assistants and stuff, which also isn't a violation. And it's almost like they're running, like at this moment, okay? At this moment, the Big Ten has no evidence. Now, I think we all would agree that evidence is going to come. And it's not going to be good for Connor Stallions or the University of Michigan. But at this moment, all they have is the NCAA saying, hey, this is going to be bad. We've got some stuff.
Are we sure that's all they have? This is Michigan's interpretation of what
this
the Big
is Michigan's agree. They're saying that's all they put into the file of however they're doing this thing. So if that's all they have and they're showing things like this is the problem with like social media, they're showing, hey, Michigan figured out someone's sign. They changed their play. That happens in every game on it. Like everyone's got a sign stealer. So if this is true and this is all you have, it may feel good to say, hey, we're going to get you on what's coming. But that is a slippery slope, whether they do it or not. That's more due process to me than, you know, we got to drag the whole thing out. Like, we don't even have anything here. We're just going, and it's like everyone's screaming on television and everyone's screaming on a conference call with 13 coaches. They're all screaming at me, I better do this. And it's like, yeah, but what do you actually have? That to me was kind of chilling. Like, if that's all you got, What happens in the next case if this is the precedent?
Yeah, I mean, if that's all they got, then they've got a problem. I would like to actually see what the Big Ten has, and I'd like to, like, the two words that aren't anywhere in this are Central and Michigan, which to me are, it's a very, very compelling part of this, because there ain't anybody else that's done that that we know of in the history of college football. Maybe it's happened, but that one has not been answered for, and that's the most egregious thing that Connor Steins has done yet.
Yeah, that's not in here. Maybe it is somewhere else. Like, maybe they just didn't do it. I don't know. But it's a we're going to find out. Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's going to be a suspension. It's going to be or not. It's going to be a lock suit. There's not. I don't know. But I found that part. I think your guy's part was all reasonable. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah. No, I mean, the whole thing is fascinating. And I'm still not sure. I'm comfortable with the Big Ten penalizing Michigan here in this point. I don't know. I've just said that for a couple of weeks now, to the disappointment of good podcasting. I don't have a firm opinion on what the Big Ten should do. And I do think that Michigan further has definitely clouded the issues skillfully and correctly. But, you know, one of the things that we've gotten a broadside of Michigan's side of things this week. So I'm pushing back just a little bit at some of that.
Yeah. We got broadside of weeks of the other.
We did.
Yeah. This is our only way of responding. Like, I'll give us in Tom Mars's letter with Harbaugh. So like, they can't comment. I wish they could comment during these things. And I get why the NCAA kind of does it, because they don't want everything to leak out. It's kind of an old school idea.
Yeah, because nothing
exactly
leaks.
What we've had. Yeah.
Right. But it actually doesn't matter what leaks, because social media will take unrelated things. Again, like you could get 10 million people to watch a video of Michigan changing their signs and changing plays, and everyone's screaming, "Oh my God, there you are." And it's like, that's not the case. Like, that's not germane to the case. You never seen a defense adjust in a football game? Like, then you never watch a game, right? So I actually think their thing is outdated. You want to get as much information out there as possible. But because saying, so I'll give it this, and this may be the worst excuse. You may think this is the worst excuse, or you may think it's the best excuse. But one of the arguments against Harbaugh that I've heard over and over is, how the hell didn't he know that this guy, Connor Stallions, okay, he's allowed, first of all, most people think Connor Stallions standing next to him is a violation. It's not. He's the sign stealer, okay? So he knew Connor Stallions had the signs, stealing his signs. How did he not know that Connor Stallions was cheating somehow to steal these signs accurately? And I admit, I was like, yeah, it's an excellent point. Like, should you have been more curious? Obviously, you should have been more curious. It should have been a lot more
plausible deniability, Dan.
Yes, plausible deniability.
Don't ask questions.
Yeah, but honestly, not asking questions has got him in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's true.
The best thing to do is to be screaming at everybody about compliance every single day so that Connor Stallions doesn't think he's helping by doing this.
Right.
He realizes, I'm putting the entire operation in jeopardy, which he did. So whatever it is, though, Mars points this out. And I thought, okay, whether you want to agree with this or not, I had not heard this argument. So he points to Ohio State and Rutgers. These sheets are 100% accurate, all of Michigan's plays. So it says, when other teams had been legally acquiring Michigan signals with 100% accuracy for 2 years, and this would be presumably through legal means, right? Studying game film, whatever you got to do. There was no reason, since those other teams can do it 100% legally, presumably, there was no reason for Coach Harbaugh or anyone else to believe that Stallions had not acquired his information about other team signals by using the same methodology. Now, you can roll your eyes or you could be like, what? But I was like, oh, that's interesting. So should Ryan Day or Greg Schiano or any other coach out there who's got the plays of the other team, because somebody grinded all 22 tape, should they be going, oh, my guy's cheating? Or should he be like, he's grinding all 22 tape? I thought that was it. That's not a get out of the jail free card. Believe me, it doesn't change what Connor Stallion did, but I hadn't heard that argument. That's the kind of argument that I think is like, oh, all right, maybe that seems somewhat reasonable to me. It's not that important, but it seems somewhat reasonable. And you don't get any of that until you get these filings.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, did Harbaugh know? I can buy that he didn't know, and B, it doesn't matter. I still think that there might be a lack of curiosity on behalf of some of the people underneath him who work day to day on plays, play calling, countering other teams' play calls. And if you're working with Connor Stallions, like, how'd you get so good at this? Would be a simple question I would ask.
But do you ask the other guys how they got good at it? Like, is that enough? That's the point. I don't think it's really not that big of a point to the whole argument. I'm just saying it's interesting to hear some perspective, right? I guess I always come at these cases the moment this thing hit, I was not a believer in this is a vast conspiracy. Everyone knew, oh my God, let's go charge again, because that's what gets you in trouble. I've covered too many of these. I've watched administrators, conference commissioners, NFL commissioners, everybody fall for the same trick on this. And they were running in assuming guilt. And it's like, hold on, take your time. Maybe there's a reasonable explanation. And I love hearing at least someone's attempt at a reasonable explanation.
Well, you know, from a legal perspective, and I'm definitely no lawyer, but it'll be interesting to see how a judge handles a few of these points that they make in the letter that clearly they're going to argue in court if he is suspended, which is number one, what we're talking about, right? Like, did he know? There's obviously no evidence that he knew. So that's an important part. Number two, like I mentioned earlier, they dissected the sportsmanship policy pretty good and then went to some other rule in the Big Ten handbook that basically says if you levy penalties right against a school, there is a process that involves a committee, a compliance and reinstatement committee voting on penalties. Then there's an appeals process. And Michigan says that, you know, Petitti is like circumventing all that basically, or as they called it, bootstrapping to use the sportsmanship policy instead of going through the process. So that's number two. And number three is what Pat mentioned, the head coach responsibility. So I think that, you know, can they use, and I think Dan mentioned this in another pod, would a state court use a federal law? That's kind of what it's like here, right? Big Ten is trying to use an NCAA bylaw, the head coach responsibility, which clearly the head coach responsibility in this case, you would think it falls on Harbaugh, right? It's presumed Harbaugh is, you know, even if he didn't know, he's responsible. So those are the three things that a judge has to going to have to determine.
Yeah, it's a good point that this you're getting into a
it's the weeds.
Here's another. This would be a fun, interesting, like inside baseball point that somebody brought up to me. So we're taping this Thursday morning. If the Big Ten has not acted until Friday. Friday is a holiday, so like Veterans Day observed. The courts are closed on Friday.
There'll be a judge. They always have a judge around.
They can find a judge to.
There's always
sign
a
temporary restraining order.
Yeah, because restraining order. I mean, obviously they would find one in this. Okay.
Yeah.
But they actually certainly courts will keep a guy because there's other restraining orders that need to be done in actual real life important things.
Somebody in Ann Arbor, there is a judge in Ann Arbor who would probably be very happy.
Even if there wasn't, if it was like, he would open the door. Yeah. But I'm not saying that they wouldn't rig it, but there will be somebody in court, however, federal court, I imagine you got to do. I have no idea. It's the whole bit. One last part, because this is, the Michigan fan response has been, and it's really all fans. There's always crazy fans on each one, but the Michigan fan has particularly lost his marbles this week. It's their turn to lose their marbles. And again, every time one of these scandals happen, and there'll be another in like a month, there's the crazy fans. But my favorite here is this guy, David, at David Schuster, who's really fired up. True believer. He used to be a television personality or something.
I guess.
He is so mad at Paul Feinbaum. I don't know what Paul Feinbaum said, but I can imagine.
Yeah, he said he should be suspended, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, who knows? Times. He could have. Yeah. It's fine, Bob. You could say that, you know.
Say whatever he wants.
Shutter Michigan Stadium for the next 10 years. Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
He's tweeting at Disney chairman Bob Iger that unless Feinbaum is fired. Okay, there's this one. My family and I were planning a week-long trip to Walt Disney World in 24, but we have now paused the reservations, giving ESPN College Game Day, which Disney ABC oversees. If Feinbaum isn't fired, our family will go to Six Flags.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that ought to do it. Okay. Like Disney World. Oh, my God. We just lost a family of
done.
Four.
We're
okay,
done.
That's it, Feinbaum. You know, I mean, they're coming after you,
you
Paul.
You showed
Paul, I'm going to Six Flags.
Schuster also goes after the sponsors of ESPN,
yes,
Game Day, too.
DoorDash. Dear DoorDash, I need about $500 of food delivered soon to my kids for a kids' party. Good God, what are these people eating? But thanks to your association with ESPN and College Game Day, I'll be giving my business to Grubhub. Oh, no. Next, dear Home Depot, I need to purchase a lot of lumber and building materials from one of your local stores this weekend for my deck renovation work.
It's got a
but
busy
thanks
weekend.
To your association with ESPN, my business is going to Lowe's. This guy's got a busy weekend. He's got a kids'
exactly.
party. Five.
Yeah.
Like, no
why
wonder he needs
on,
DoorDash.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Couldn't go to the restaurant to pick $500. That poor DoorDash. And then Home Depot. So
this
and
is,
it goes on.
Yeah.
I applaud David Schuster. True fan. True fan.
My favorite part of this, you guys certainly can appreciate that. Like if you're gonna, there's certain fan bases. We you get into these sort of situations where you're getting a bunch of blowback and a lot of your SEC schools, the blowback that you will get on social media or email or whatever is going to be simple and concise and blunt and crass. Your butt hurt. Your tears taste delicious. We're rent-free inside your head. Michigan fans who think very highly of themselves, you don't understand the complexities of the NCAA rulebook and the state law here. Let me explain them to you ad nauseum on every social media platform available. It's like exhausting. I am so worn out by the Michigan arguments. They like to argue. That's for sure.
They all do. 3 weeks ago, Ross and I were heroes of Ohio State. Now, not so much.
Yeah.
Remember, Michigan fans were yelling at us. Now they like us. They like me because I wrote a column saying Purdue cheated as much as Michigan. Like when you're getting told the other schools cheated as much as you, and that's a positive story.
Oh, that's
I was like, okay.
I really one of my favorite follows on Twitter, Spencer Hall, and he quote tweeted David Schuster's tweet about going from, you know, instead of going to Disney, going to Six Flags. And it's great. This is Spencer's quote tweet. Man, you do you. But if you try and tell an 8-year-old they're getting Six Flags instead of Disney, I am praying for you.
That is 100% accurate. I hadn't even thought of that. That is brilliant. Great. Oh my God. When you had little kids, Pat, you tell them you're not going to Disney. Six Flags, just
Six
as good.
Flags.
Yeah.
No, it's
not.
It is not. Where's the princess? They got like some off brand like character.
Remember the Six Flags the man? Dressed weird in some weird suit. He's got the bow tie on and he dances. Wasn't that Six Flags? I don't know.
I don't know.
Moving on.
Yeah, not as good. Yeah, that's an excellent point. Well, that's why David Schuster is fan of the year. Because if you're willing to take the heat from your kids to go to Six Flags over Disney, that is you're sacrificing. I mean, look, taking Lowe's lumber and instead of Home Depot, that's whatever. Grubhub, DoorDash, they go to the same restaurant. Doesn't matter.
Michigan should give David Schuster 50-yard line seats.
Really should.
Across from the visiting bench so he can videotape them.
No, you give him seats at the other games. Give him the other games. We don't need him at Michigan Stadium. We need you a week ahead of time. It should be wherever Maryland's playing this weekend. All right. Interesting story. North Carolina State. How about this one? Here's a conundrum for you. So they got a kid named MJ Morris. He's their quarterback. Last year, he's a freshman. He starts three games in November for NC State. You figure he's going to be the starter as a sophomore. However, North Carolina State goes out and grabs Virginia's Brennan Armstrong in the transfer portal to, help compete. Camp last summer, Armstrong beats Morris out for the starting job. Probably a bad call. Seemingly a bad call. Armstrong struggles. Four games ago, NC State switches quarterbacks, goes with MJ Morris. He now assumes the starting job. Throws 648 passes, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception in 4 games. More importantly, they win 3 of the 4 games, including beating Clemson and beating Miami. MJ Morris is now settled in. He is the starter. Things are rolling. NC State is 6-3 on the season. And this week, it's announced that MJ Morris is redshirting. You can play 4 games in college football and preserve your redshirt. So this year won't count. He saves an entire year of eligibility unless he takes one more snap. So he is not going to play again this year to preserve an entire season. His father told the AP and other media that MJ would stay with the program. He was not necessarily going right into the portal, but we do know there is a transfer portal out there. There are NIL deals at other schools. Could be an NIL deal at North Carolina State to stay and remain. Pretty wild. New one. What are your thoughts on this, Pat?
Oh, it's fascinating and very much a sign of the times here. I sympathize with MJ Morris in this situation because they went to the portal to get somebody to take his job. He can hit the portal to leave when he chooses, and this could be the time he chooses because of the redshirt rule. So, he may say he's going to stay through the rest of the season. Clearly, you're not doing this if you're planning on staying there. And I think that probably this does reflect some real displeasure about the way that was handled, especially it would be one if Brennan Armstrong had come in and just clearly proven to be a superior quarterback who had done great things and had led NC State, to a great success. I think you probably just tip your cap and say, okay, but he didn't play very well. And now MJ Morris has played marginally better. It's not like he's lit the world on fire passing-wise, just his statistics, but he's gotten them to wins. Mostly their defense, I think, has, holding Miami to 6 and Clemson to 17. But I don't blame him. He's got the cards. Play him as you see fit for yourself at this point. From a team dynamic standpoint, it's shaky, it's ugly, but, NC State said business is business, and now MJ Morris is saying business is business.
Yeah, we all ought to be prepared for more of this. I think we've seen it a little bit last season. I think we saw a few times, but maybe not something like this where you have a starting quarterback do this. I figured we might have had a couple of receivers, like a DB or two last year, do this.
I think there's a kid at Boise this year.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's here and there. We've seen it, and it's only going to get more prevalent. And athletes looking out for themselves, and there shouldn't be a problem with that. I know coaches are not going to like it, administrators are not going to like it, but this is the kind of the movement, the athletes' rights movement we're in the middle of, and these rule changes, which give athletes more freedom, which is probably most would say is fair, allows things like this to happen. And but I kind of feel just a tinge bad for NC State. I mean, they lost Devin Leary last year to Kentucky. It's like, what's wrong with Raleigh? Is it that bad? Come on.
real quick, they're not the same dynamics, but a similar sort of, am I redshirting or not? Tension at Michigan State this week. Sam Levitt, who had come in at quarterback and played pretty well, but he's played 4 games. And now the question is, is he going to burn the red shirt and play the rest of this year or not?
Yeah, I mean, this is like the unintended consequence, or you could probably foresee this consequence. Like, obviously this was going to happen, of like a number of rules, right? Because they used to be like, if you played one play, you burned your red shirt. And so it was like, and it'd be like, well, someone got hurt. We had to throw this kid in, you know, he had to play on special teams. He took two snaps and that cost him a year. That doesn't seem fair. So, I don't like it. I respect that the kid's got the right. If you're playing well, you have options. If you're playing poorly, the coaches have options, right? So they can sit you. So, but, you know, there's sort of like a, I don't know, it just feels like they're, I total respect. I don't think you change the rules or anything like that. It's just the scenario, but it's still sort of like you're just starting QB of a 6-3 team. Like, you're just going to walk away from that. Like, you know.
Yeah. Like, I know. It's like the grass is greener
like,
thing.
Really?
I mean,
all right now you can do it. Right. You can do it. 100% do it. And I'm not going to say you're the worst person in the world or anything, but it's like, all right, you know, okay. But we see it, you know, look at the NBA, man. These guys quit on their teams after 2 weeks. How many times has James Harden been traded in the last 4 years? It's like, this is what you can do. You got that power. I get it. It's just sort of like, I'd rather guys were like all in on the team. But I certainly, hey, you're like, dude, I was here. I was a starter and you brought in someone else and it didn't work out. That's sort of maybe the original sin here. So, but whatever. We'll see more of it. Fascinating. Tough for NC State fans. Pastor Conrad is probably not.
He's
pretty mild mannered, but maybe he's like, come on. And I agree. Yeah. Tough break. All right. Yeah. One others. Quinn Ewers is now day to day quarterback for Texas. I became a huge Quinn Ewers fan. He posted on his Instagram lyrics to Merle Haggard's Big City. Take me, set me free. Take me home, set me free. Somewhere in the middle of Montana. Merle Haggard, like, I'm too young to listen to Merle Haggard. Quinn Ewers should not be listening to Merle Haggard. So I
if you're under 70, you're too young to listen.
Yeah,
to Merle
like
Haggard.
I'm Quinn Ewers for Heisman. I'm voting for Quinn Ewers. That's why I don't have a vote. Merle Haggard fan. I mean, come on. Can't get better than that. I'm so excited about Quinn Ewers. Anyway, they're at TCU this weekend. I don't know if he's gonna play this weekend at TCU. 4-5 at Iowa State. That's the tricky one. 5-4 Texas Tech at home. 4-5 Man, Texas, just don't blow this. Get to that title, that Big 12 title game. They've got the victory over Alabama. It's going to keep them ahead of Alabama no matter what. Even if Alabama beats Georgia, Texas has got to stay ahead of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, Texas would prefer that, right? They prefer that. Yes. Scenario to happen. It just strengthens their record. Yeah, that's a big game. That game might be really impactful come selection time.
There could be 4-5 right there, as or whatever it is. So very interesting. I don't know. Any thoughts on Texas football, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, especially like Ewers is clearly better than Malik Murphy. Malik Murphy came in was pretty good the first game that he started. Then. Really, and for part of the game against Kansas State, and then was not good. And Texas, they need all hands on deck because they're a little slippery right now. They, since losing to Oklahoma, they could have, should have maybe lost to Houston, except a bad spot. They could have, should have actually, assuredly, would have lost to Kansas State. If they make an extra point, that game is over. So their margin is not very wide, so they definitely need our Merle Haggard fan and former mullet wearer to be in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you see Malik Murphy. We talked about him, I think, on the pod before, and he's just this, he's just this Adonis. But he has, last game was a real struggle, right? He was like 50% completion, threw two picks. And you could tell they were missing Ewers there. So he obviously would be, and he hasn't been perfect either, but it certainly is an upgrade. I mean, there's a reason he won the job. And this is, This is a key stretch here. I mean, of all the one loss teams, right? Like Texas has the best shot. You know, I found it funny on the COP selection show, Greg McElroy was really stumping for the Longhorns to be higher. And it kind of became a thing on social and stuff. Keep in mind, we're like a month out from the final rankings, so none of this matters. But he was making an argument that Texas should be higher, should be above Oregon. And I think he's right. When you look at the resumes, Texas is the best one-loss team. Has the best resume right now.
Probably, right? Other than, what's the other best win of the season? Washington over Oregon, and that's at home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
Notre Dame's falling off for Ohio State.
Right.
Still a good win. Yep. Penn State is good.
Yeah, that it would be that one. It would be Ohio State's win over Penn State would probably be the next.
That's at home. Win. Penn State's not ranked in the top 10, as far as I know, or top 8. I think they're 11.
11, so, I believe, yeah.
Probably is. I don't know. And they lost. Their loss is neutral site almost last play of the game. Emotional. You could certainly make the case that they should be ahead of Oregon. But again, like, what are we doing? It's 6 weeks away.
That will hopefully sort itself out, or at least become the when we get more information, we'll know which one should be ahead. But I kind of agree with Greg and with Ross there that Texas's resume is probably better than Oregon's at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they went to Alabama and won the game.
Yep.
On the road. You know, I mean, it's so the other probably best road win would be maybe Ohio State, Notre Dame, but that's not anymore.
Oregon did win at Utah, so they have that.
Oregon, Utah is better than that. So there's
one.
All right, we're going to pick Michigan, Penn State, Utah, Washington, Tennessee, Missouri, Ole Miss, Georgia, USC, Oregon. Any other interesting games this weekend? We'll get to the race of the case in a second. What games are you looking at this weekend that interest you that aren't those games? Let me start. So while you guys look. I'm intrigued. I'm going back to the Mountain West, which I've been fired up about all year. Wyoming at UNLV, Friday night, late, 10:45 Eastern. Get your drink on all night in Vegas. Wyoming is a good team. UNLV is a excellent team. Good, a very good team too. Good Mountain West clash. They're 7-2. Wyoming 6-3. Barry Odom's rebuild of UNLV is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a program that has been down forever. And they tried everything. They've tried every coach idea. I mean, at one point they hired the local high school coach because why not? They tried they've tried it all. Barry Odom's getting it going there. They're 7-2. They they've got Allegiant Stadium now to recruit to. Obviously, you're not going to fill that place very easily, but cool NFL stadium. You're there. It's right on the strip. They've improved their facilities at in Vegas. They have a football building and all. I mean, and I was out there for a fight. I went over a couple years ago to visit. I mean, it was like, there's high schools with better stuff than what UNLV had. And that was 5 years ago, 6 years. I don't know. I'm really interested to get to see UNLV in what should be a very good game. And can they get to 8-2? Because this is a great story for Barry Odom. So I am interested in that game.
I'm with you there because it's for many reasons. But Barry Odom's done great, especially when you consider that the offensive coordinator he hired, his rockstar OC, stayed for like, 2 weeks? And then he left. That's Bobby Petrino.
All right.
He's going to be the offensive coordinator. He's like, no, never mind. I'm going to go to Texas A&M. Might not have been a very good choice. Another game for a prurient interest, I guess you would say. Rutgers at Iowa. I mean, this is going to be yet another one of those games where it's like 14-10.
What's the over-under? Isn't it?
I don't know. It's got to be below 30 again, or around 30, right? But like
28.5.
I don't know.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Iowa continues to, take one limping step after another towards the Big Ten West Championship and towards what would be the worst Big Ten Championship game. Well, there was somebody did score 70 in the Big Ten Championship game once. It could be just absolutely ugly if they play Michigan or Ohio State.
20 and a half, 14-13.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. That is going
to
be
sure it'll get to 14-13. That's the question.
Maybe not. 7-6.
Actually, two coaches that 15-13. Let's not throw any weird score out there.
Yeah.
I mean, Rutgers, if nothing else, even if they score, they'll take like 8 minutes to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's going to be a grinding. The clock runs. Remember Michigan? Michigan Rutgers played so fast this year. The game was over in like a little over. They didn't have time to steal all each other's signs. It was terrible. Guys were like, I stole 100 signs. We only played. They only ran 40 plays. Yeah. It sucks. What was I doing all week?
This is like two coaches that could not be happier to punt and play field position and play defense.
Clock running.
Yeah.
Ross?
How about Miami and Florida State? Miami is must-see TV every week. I mean, you don't know. This team, Jekyll and Hyde, you don't know what's going to happen here. And I know that they're a 14.5-point underdog at Florida State, but it would be very Miami for them to lose to, you know, NC State and Georgia Tech, turn around, you know, beat like they have, beat Clemson, and then, like, win at Florida State or something. I mean, I don't expect it necessarily, but, geez, this one is filled with hate, too. And it's like this is a fairly hateful rivalry. I'm sure the atmosphere is going to be pretty wild down there. And it's another example, and we'll see this more as the season progresses, especially the last week of the season, where a rival, specifically an in-state rival, could ruin the playoff chances, right, for its rival in a game. And this is an opportunity for that to happen. At the end of the year, we might have like five of those in the last week of the season. You know, like Georgia Tech, Florida State, Washington State, Oregon State. It could be pretty interesting there.
Good point.
I am looking forward to Arizona at Colorado.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Aha. Play me my theme music. It's like a sad trombone at this point.
Yeah. The loser game show. That?
Colorado's 4-5. I'm not even care about Colorado. I'm more interested in Arizona. Jed Fish
is doing
an incredible job. And this is a tough league. He's not just like catching a schedule. He took over a dead program that rarely gets to decent. Went 1-11 his first year, 5-7 last year. He's 6-3 right now, 4-2 in the Pac-12. They can get to 7-3. They are 10.5-point favorites in Boulder. The Gamblers have abandoned the Buffaloes. Remember when they were hot? It was a big thing. It was a big thing. I swear.
Yeah, that's
they've fallen apart, but they have victories over three consecutive ranked teams. They beat at Washington State. They beat Oregon State at home. They beat UCLA. They're rolling, and they still have Utah. Obviously, there's the border game. What do they call that? Border rivalry?
Yeah, the Territorial Cup.
Territorial
I believe,
Cup. That's it. What's the border one? I can't remember.
Well, anyway, they used to be in the border conference, but like the 1940s.
Tumbleweeds and stuff. Yeah. I don't know, but Arizona – could get a very good victory here, get a seventh win on en route to, we'll see what happens with Utah, but that's a great job by Arizona. I have not watched a ton of them. I've watched some the last few weeks. That would keep a remarkable run going. And remember, man, they lost to USC in three overtimes. They lost at Mississippi State in overtime. And they only lost to Washington by a touchdown. Arizona is hot, man. This thing is getting going. So we'll see what happens up in Boulder.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, we came into the season talking about Colorado. We could go out talking about Arizona
as
the team out there. And that is really impressive what Jed Fish has done. And they've been playing their backup freshman quarterback the last few weeks, and he's just been awesome. Noah Fafita. So it's super impressive. Also, Jed Fish Connor Stallions loves Jed Fish. Got that going for him, too.
That's true. I was waiting for that. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, Connor might be valuable. Like, can you hire Connor Stallions?
Is Connor going to be on John Harbaugh's staff soon?
Connor Stallions should open it's like an outside firm at this point. And he should film sidelines and just put it on YouTube and charge us, like, I guess if you charge a subscription, he should buy it, sell it. I don't know. There's got to be a way to monetize what he does. All right. Let's get to Race for the Case. Ross 34 and 26. Sean's also 34 and 26. I'm at 33 and 27. Pat's 27 and 33. Woo. Not bad. When our worst picker is six below 500, that's pretty good for us.
But certainly. Coming back. Coming back.
Number three, Michigan at number 10, Penn State. Michigan's giving 4.5 games noon on Fox. Harbaugh, will he be there? Will he not? Will Judge Judy be there? We don't know. Who do you think will win this game or cover or whatever, Pat?
Yeah, if you're betting, clearly, let's wait and see who the coach is for Michigan.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the presumption he's there. I'm going to go with the near certainty that Michigan is better, perhaps much better. I did see Penn State in person. I was underwhelmed. I think Michigan might be better than Ohio State. The home field could factor in. And I don't think it's been a very focused week for Michigan, but I don't think any of that matters. I think Michigan wins and covers 4.5.
Yeah, I don't know who, if he's going to be there or not, obviously. Maybe you know while you're listening to this. Maybe it's already come out. But him there or not, the distraction of all of this in the week, Penn State playing at home, kind of a rocking crowd there. Penn State's defense is really good. I think this is a really, really tight one. And I'm going to take Penn State to cover the 4.5. Maybe they don't win. Maybe they do. But this one comes down to the very end and is like some ugly, you know, 15-14 ball game.
Penn State is like your buddy is trying to get you to do a shot of tequila when you know you don't want to and you can't handle it, and then you keep taking the shots and then you can't get your bearings, and I'm tired of that, so I'm gonna go with Michigan to cover. Penn State, I'm done doing this dance with you.
I love Sean's picks.
He's in first place, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Tied
for first. You could laugh, but the guy is 8 games above 500, picking 3 days before the actual games. Yeah. And games that he sometimes don't want to pick. Yeah. I want to pick Penn State so bad in this thing, but and one of the reasons is I don't believe they could possibly go 0 for 5 their first 15 third downs. I still find that statistical bit incredible that this occurred. As they did against Ohio State. But I just, here's the game. Maybe I said this the other day, but if J.J. McCarthy is as good as he purports to be, he wins this game because he can throw the ball down. What beat Penn State was Marvin Harrison Jr. Michigan does not have Marvin Harrison Jr. would beat them in the Ohio State game, but they have decent receivers and they have a much better quarterback. I think I'm going to take Michigan, but man, I wanted to pick Penn State. Penn State, just prove it to me, then I'll start picking you again. I can't do it. Number 18, Utah at number 5, Washington. Washington is giving 9.5, 3:30 on Fox. Can the Utes screw up the Pac-12 again for everybody? Ross.
Oh, this is the best passing team in the nation. Washington gets one of the better run rushing teams in the nation and defenses in the nation. So you got two diametrically opposite kind of philosophies here. 9.5 is just too big for me. And I picked the Utes to cover against Oregon. They got blowed out. I'm hoping that doesn't happen here. I'm give me the Utes to cover in Seattle.
I am with you there. It's just a little too big a spread, and I do think Utah has a defense that can stay on the field against Washington. And yeah, they present a physical challenge for Washington. So Washington sure as heck isn't running for 200 yards again like they did against soft-ass USC. I think that Utah got some religion after losing, getting blown out by Oregon, came back and crushed Arizona State. I think they're going to play well the rest of the season. So I don't think Utah wins, but 9.5 is too many. Give me the Utes.
Yeah, Utah couldn't mess up the Pac-12 until they took themselves out of contention. So now that that's happened, I have them covering this big spread against Washington, keeping it tight, and giving us all a little a nice scare on Saturday.
Man, I got a chance to get lone Husky. I'm not doing it, though. I'm taking Utah also. You know, it's funny. Washington beat Oregon, and I think Oregon might be better. The way Texas beat Oklahoma, and we all thought Texas was better. I'm going to take Utah to cover. 9.5 is too much. Tennessee at number 13, Tennessee at number 14, Missouri. Vols are giving 1:30 on CBS. Pat.
I'm going to play the schedule game on this and take Tennessee because they're coming in off of a basically a spa treatment game against Connecticut, whereas Missouri's coming in after playing Georgia. Nobody comes out of Georgia without feeling sore. I just think Tennessee's going to be a little more bouncy, a little more fresh, and will win. I think if both teams were coming in off of exactly equal standings, I would take Missouri, but I just think that the schedule sets up well for the Vols, so I'm taking the Vols.
No love for Mizzou here. 1.5-point underdog at home. These teams have the same records. Missouri knocked off Kansas State.
One point for us.
Oh, we're doing 1 point. Okay,
yeah, Pat hates the Missouri.
Either way. But yeah, Pat does hate Missouri. Yeah, look at him. Clearly. Rooting against his alma mater. Yeah, give me Tennessee. I think they're going to cover.
This feels like a game that Tennessee would love to lose, so they will. So I'm going to take Missouri to cover and win this. I think Tennessee would actually need to have come off a tougher game last week instead of having the spa treatment, and Missouri forged by fire. So I have them beating the Vols.
I like the spa treatment angle. I'm taking Tennessee. It's a good game, man. I'm gonna watch that game. Number 9, Ole Miss at number 2, Georgia. Dogs given 10.5, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Huge game. Big chance for Lane Kiffin. Get your popcorn ready. Ross?
Yeah, big chance for Lane. We all thought that Ole Miss may knock off Alabama earlier this year. Offensively, they didn't show up, made too many mistakes, turned the ball over. I don't think they do that this time. I think they show up. I just, even though they show up, doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to win on the road at Georgia. But I think this is a tight game that's back and forth. And I think Ole Miss covers. That's a big number. So give me the Rebels to cover in Athens. And maybe in the very end, eke out some kind of upset. Let's see. This is a good one.
Pat?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, my bad. I was already looking up my lock of the week. I was getting ahead of myself. Oh. No, Georgia wins covers. I think that it should be a good game. Maybe I'm still scarred by thinking that Mississippi could beat Alabama and seeing them lay an egg. And this is a similar sort of challenge, similar setting. I think Georgia's offense has gotten very efficient, maybe underrated the way they've played the last several weeks. Brock Bowers may be back for this game. Mississippi's defense is bad, so I'm going to take Georgia to win and cover.
If Lane had shown any creativity or even confidence against Alabama, I would love to get on that train and say they could cover this game. They didn't. It looked like he coached scared. I don't know why you can't get over the hump when it comes to the top-ranked teams, but I don't think they're eking it out. So Georgia to cover.
Yeah, I'm not betting against Georgia on this. Spread's not too big to scare me here. Mm. So
that's a lone rebel.
Lone rebel.
Lone rebel. Rebel.
USC unranked at number 6, Oregon. Ducks minus 15. Given 15. 10:30 p.m. on Fox.
Yeah.
Pat, back to you.
Yeah. That spread, that boy, that's vexing. Even if it were 14, I would feel better. But you know what? I'm going to take Oregon. USC's just not playing well enough to put any faith in them, and Oregon's playing extremely well. Oregon's offense is so dynamic that USC isn't going to slow them down. And even if Caleb Williams plays lights out, I'm not sure they can stay within that spread. If Oregon doesn't put 50 on the board, I'll be shocked. Let's start with that. So that means USC would have to put 35 on the board. Let's say they don't. Give me the Ducks to cover the big number.
I think they do. I think I'll go with 50-41. How about that? USC covers.
New defensive coordinator. Let's get it going, USC. New page. Show them something they haven't seen yet. So I'll take USC to cover also.
I'll take the Ducks. No problem. They got reasons to play, reasons to score. I'll take it. 15. I'm all on the Ducks. All right, locks of the week. Who's got one? Ross?
Yeah, I got one. Auburn plays at Arkansas. Sam Pittman and the Hogs lost six straight and then won at Florida last weekend. Auburn cannot move the ball. They just really struggle offensively. They're playing at Arkansas. I think Arkansas, which is a 2.5-point favorite, wins the game and wins by more than 2.5. So give me the Hogs to cover it at home against Hugh Freeze and the Tigers.
I'm also going SEC. I made the idiotic decision last week to actually trust a Big Ten West team and made Nebraska my lock of the week. They never even led, I don't think, against Michigan State. That was pitiful. So I'm not doing that again. I'm going with Alabama laying 10.5 at Kentucky. The way Alabama's playing right now, believe in them. They ain't messing around. Kentucky's been inconsistent. I think that Devin Leary has not been great, and Alabama's going to be in his face. So I am rolling with the Tide, laying 10.5.
I'm going to go with a spread that just – I don't know how it makes sense. I don't know who would make this. Oklahoma State giving 2.5 to UCF. That's just too good of a spread for me to stay away from. UCF isn't that good. Oklahoma State rolling. And maybe I'll buy into the post-Bedlam emotional dump, but not more than 2.5 points. That's good for me. I'll take the Cowboys.
That's
I considered that one, and I figured that's Bedlam Hangover, so I got scared and backed off.
Are they going to Disney World, not Six Flags? Is that it? They're going to get distracted?
They can give their scouting report to David Schuster on the Six Flags experience.
Do they have a fan that dedicated? I don't think so. Maybe they do. They probably do. I'm staying in the Big 12. Kansas is hosting Texas Tech. Kansas beats Oklahoma. They go to Iowa State and win a huge game. They are rolling. There should be an excellent crowd by Kansas standards out there in Lawrence, where they do indeed have a stadium, it turns out. Rock chalk, 3.5. No problem. Kansas wins and covers over Texas Tech. Pretty good one.
Yeah, I like that pick.
Yeah, not bad. All right, that's our show. Maybe we're back. Who knows what this – we may be back with an emergency pod. We may not. I don't – we have no idea what's going on. Only the number three head coach of the number three team, former Saved by the Bell, Judge Judy. This scandal's a lot of fun for a lot of people, but it is like, okay, let's come to a conclusion.
Yeah. It's time for some action.
Or more Connor Stallions vacuum salesman stories and things like that. I don't know. It's not ending. It's not ending. Pandora's box is open, and we do love Pandora.
It's a deep box.
I was talking to somebody, and they were like, "It's just Pandora's box is open." I'm like, I love Pandora. Come on now. Bring it. If not, we'll be back on Sunday to break down all of the reaction and whatever else happens. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, sharing us on social media, and all that. We may even get back to more ridiculous stories when we have to talk about legal filings. We will talk to you later.